Amen. Well, let's look at the book of Matthew, the sixth chapter. Matthew, the sixth chapter, and the 33rd verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. One more time. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we've been talking recently, a series about living a distinctive kingdom life. Living a distinctive kingdom life. God has brought us into the kingdom of God. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And he was talking about being born into the kingdom of God. So now that we are born and we are citizens of the kingdom of God, and we've been translated out of the world, out of the kingdom of the world, and we've been brought and translated into the kingdom of God, now God has us still here on the earth. So our goal, obviously, for us being on the earth is not to try to make it to heaven. Being born again gets us into the kingdom. We are citizens of the kingdom of God, and we are here on the earth. So we are still on this earth with an assignment from the head of the church. And that assignment involves us advancing the kingdom of God in our generation. It's not so much in trying to struggle so that we can fly away and get to heaven. When we pass away, being in the kingdom of God, being children of God, being born into the family, you know, we're part of the family. All we have to do pretty much now is die. But we're on the earth. And God has given us an assignment which involves advancing the kingdom of God in our generation. That's what the goal is. So you see, this 33rd verse, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Read that. And all these things shall be added unto you. So people who are not born of the Spirit of God, you know, when we were in the world and of the world, we thought and lived, and our motive was involved with trying to get what Jesus said would be added to us. So once we are in the kingdom of God, we can see that our assignment is not what we thought it was many times, but it's to advance the kingdom of God. The head of the church, Jesus Christ, has given us an assignment. Now let's look at the 28th chapter of Matthew. You see the 18th verse. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, this is that assignment, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So God wants us to live life to the fullest. He wants us to help people know about being born into the kingdom of God. And you be born into the kingdom of God while you're on the earth. A kingdom is any jurisdiction where the influence of the king has full authority. So we are in a jurisdiction of the kingdom of God. And when we go to heaven, you know, we'll be there for a while. And that's a jurisdiction of the kingdom of God, you see. And so we are citizens now. So since we're citizens and we're still on the earth, our goal is not to be born again. We're already born again. So our goal is to fulfill this assignment, which is to be in partial fulfillment of this great commission to help other people know about what God has done so that he can provide us access into the kingdom of God, help them come into the kingdom of God, help them to be born of the Spirit of God, and then teach them how to live like sons of God and live life to the fullest. God wants us to have eternal life, and that's what we received when we were born of the Spirit of God. And then not perish, but live and have it abundantly. Amen. And so you see the fifth chapter of the book of 1 John and the 11th verse. So the goal then that Jesus had when he came, he was to announce, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is in hand. And then he went to the cross, paid the price for us to be born into the kingdom of God. And when we were born into the kingdom of God, something happened to you and me. What happened to you and me is this eternal life is called everlasting life. It came inside of you. Eternal life came inside of you. Everlasting life came inside of you. You have it now. So that Jesus, you remember? Jesus, God so loved the world. Come on, help me out. That he gave his only begotten son. Why? That whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. To get that life in you. To be born of the Spirit of God. And have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Like the Holy Spirit was inside of Jesus. Once that happened, you are there. Once that happens, it has happened. You actually are sons of God. Okay? Once that eternal life comes inside of you, you don't have to wait until you go to heaven to get it. Everlasting life is what came inside of you when you were born again. And God let you stay on the earth to fulfill the assignment. So we're all in partial fulfillment of this commission, and it involves us working with the Lord to advance his kingdom. And that involves helping other people know what really happened when Jesus died. He actually canceled the note. And when we are born into the Spirit of God, then we learn how to live like sons of God. Amen. Not servants, not slaves, not trying to become like God one day, but realize it happened. Eternal life, the life, this everlasting life, that's what you received when you were born again. Now let's look at the 11th verse. Read it. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. So if whenever anybody's born of the Spirit of God, what happened to that person is the life of God came in them and made us sons of God. We're sons of God. Jesus is our brother now. God is our father. Okay? Now we have an assignment. The assignment from Jesus is not, listen now, to get more of Jesus. We haven't. I mean, he's in us and he's, okay? All right. Come on. No. We have eternal life. We have it. He's in us and we are in him. Listen now. Listen. The assignment is not to seek more of Jesus. We haven't. You seek the word, seek to understand the word of God. But let's get the assignment right. The assignment is to advance the kingdom. Listen. The assignment is not wrapped up so much in me trying to get my blessing. Jesus said, if you seek the kingdom, listen, and his righteousness, that means staying and lined up upright with him. These things that people are seeking after, Jesus said they'll be added to you. So I need to get my assignment right. My assignment is not to get more of Jesus. You know, I can, it's a real good, a real sincere, pure motive. I want more of Jesus. Well, if I focus on, I just want more of Jesus, I want to seek Jesus, that sounds good, listen to me. But that's not the assignment. We have Jesus. We have eternal life. God has made us righteous without even us doing anything to earn that righteousness. Righteousness is something that God did to you. And we can't grow in righteousness. We can grow in our love. We can grow in our understanding. But when we leave and when we go anywhere, even when we go to heaven, we're not going to be any more righteous than we are right now. You are as righteous as God counts. Jesus is righteous. God did it. So there's no place for us to brag, but it is a fact. No part on our own. God did that. And so we praise God for it because it's something that he did. He made us righteous with Jesus' righteousness. So he regards us like he regards Jesus. Amen. Because he loves us. Why did he do that? Because he loved us and he wanted us to be righteous. So God let Jesus go to the cross and let him be made sin without sin, without Jesus ever committing sin. God made him to be sin. Laid it on him because he wanted to end up with you righteous. So he made Jesus to be sin, let Jesus die, let Jesus go to hell for me and you and cancel the penalty. God raised him from the dead. And God counts anybody who will accept what God has done so that he can make us righteous. Anybody who would accept it is a gift. And he made us righteous with Jesus' righteousness after he made Jesus sin with our sin. And God raised him from the dead. And he accepts everybody who accepts what he has done. Now what he do? He made Jesus to be sin for us so that he could make us righteous. As he counts us as righteous. He made us righteous. The right standing with God that God has with God. It can't be improved on. Can't be increased. You are not going to ever be any more righteous than you are right now. Because it has nothing to do with what you have done. It has everything to do with what God did and what you believe. All right? So far we found out we have eternal life. We found out that the assignment is not to seek to have more of Jesus. That sounds real good, but you can get caught up into trying to have something that you already have and leave your assignment alone. But God didn't say if you seek more of Jesus, these things will be added to you. He said, seek the kingdom, and you're in the kingdom, aren't you? You've been born into the kingdom, haven't you? And seek to remain upright with your kingdom. His righteousness. That means to be upright. Righteousness means uprightness. Be lined up with the King of heaven. Now, what did God tell you your assignment is? Yeah. Go, ye, therefore. Somehow we ought to be involved in helping other people realize what God has done. He didn't give us a religion, but he gave us sonship. He helped us be born again and come into the kingdom of God and told us to seek to remain upright with him. To remain upright with him is to be involved with doing what he's doing. That's what he said will cause things that other people are seeking after to be added to you. Oh, I just want more of Jesus. That's good. That's good. It's good to want more of understanding it. But you already have all of Jesus. So you can be caught up in a church looking for more of Jesus and leave the assignment and thinking that I'm supposed to be running after Jesus. No, I'm supposed to be doing what he told me to do. You got it? That's the assignment. And Jesus said all these things will be added to you. That Gentiles, people who are not hooked up with God. God can afford your dreams. God knows that you have needs. But God said these things will be added if you fulfill your assignment. That's the reason that you're on the earth. You're not on the earth to try to get to heaven. You're not on the earth to work and try to get to heaven. You're on the earth so that you can work with God, doing what God had Jesus doing, getting this message about the good news of what did Jesus preach? Repent. Come on. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he went to the cross. And he provided a way for people, anybody who wanted to come into the kingdom. He did not preach the cross. Jesus didn't preach the cross. Jesus preached repent, because what Adam lost has been restored. This dominion, this kingdom. He didn't preach the cross. Jesus didn't preach the cross. He said what he was going to do in order to get people to be able to come into the kingdom. But the good news was the kingdom of God is at hand. And because he needed people to have a way to get back into the kingdom of God, he went to the cross and he died and he canceled the sin and he was buried. And God raised him from the dead to signify that as far as God is concerned, everybody who will receive what I've just done for you is as righteous as Jesus is. Because he did it with Jesus' righteousness. He made him to be sin for you without Jesus ever sinning. And he let him die, go to hell, be raised from the dead. And the Bible says that God raised him from the dead because of our righteousness. As far as God is concerned, he's declaring everybody righteous. But you have to accept what he's given you as a gift. Otherwise, you will end up in the field working rather than in the house with the sons. The slaves are in the field. The sons are in the house. Amen. Amen. The sons are family members. The slaves don't have any rights. They're servants. Now you and I are a servant of God. You are God's servant. You and I are God's servants serving people. But our relationship with God is not servant. Now we are servants of God serving people. But we are sons of God as far as our relationship. And if you don't get it right, you can end up being in the field working, trying to get to heaven. And God never did have that as the assignment. The assignment is to advance the kingdom on the earth. Do you know, I met a woman today. She said, I've been saved in the field. And she don't even do anything. She don't even go to church. Don't do anything, you know, because she thought that was the goal. Miss heaven. Miss hell. No. It wasn't a miss hell. It was to come into the kingdom and then fulfill this. Jesus came that you might live life to the fullest. And if you're about God's business, you'll end up fulfilled. That's the only way anybody can live a fulfilled life, like have God's best. It's not being born again and filled with the Holy Ghost and say, okay, I got that over. I'm going to heaven now. No, it has nothing to do with your position. The goal is not to try to go to heaven. When you get to heaven, it ain't going to be no different. Oh, my goodness. What you going to do when you get to heaven? You're not going to run up there and tell Jesus all your trouble. See, those are songs. People ain't going to be running. But you get to heaven, it's so much order in heaven. You ain't going to be running around that throne, don't even know how to act. You got to go to baby righteous school if you don't know. You have to, I mean, stuff is organized in heaven. You just can't just haul off and run around talking about, I'm going to tell Jesus all my trouble. You don't even know how to talk to Jesus yet. God wanted you to be born again on the earth doing with God what God is doing. That's why he has you here. And God says, if you represent me, you be my faithful representative on the earth. He said, everything that these people in the world are seeking after, I'll add that to you because I own everything. God will give you a desire, and then he will help you to make that desire come to pass. And it'll be good desires. He'll help you to desire a car when it's, yeah. Because everything belonged to God. You remember Sunday I said when Jesus needed a donkey, his father owned everything, and he's an heir. He owned he's a son, so he owned everything. You know, Jesus wasn't running around trying to get his blessing. That wasn't Jesus's place to be on the earth trying to run around, try to get his blessing. No more is it your place to be on the earth running around all your life trying to get your blessing. No, you got to realize when God put the Holy Spirit in you, he did it. He gave you every good thing. Everything. I mean, really, the Holy Spirit is the job. God wanted to send Jesus to get the Holy Spirit back in us. Once you got the Holy Spirit in you, you really don't realize what that means if you listen to religion. Because just about everybody here, they're trying to tell you how to get your blessing. Let the world go to hell. You're just trying to get your blessing. But God said, if you remain upright with him, you be about doing what he told you to do. God said, all these things that other people are running after will be added to you. When Jesus needed a donkey, he sent it to his disciples, and he told them, it's a donkey right at where two ways meet. Said where two ways meets. And he said, if anybody asks you about what you're doing when you're trying to get that donkey and bring him to me, tell him the Lord have need of it. You know what Lord means? The one who owns it needs it. When we needed a building, I was saying, we need $100,000. I'm bringing you, we need $100,000. She said, you don't need $100,000. All you need is the building. Because what you're going to do if it's $100,000 is buy the building. She said, you need a building. I said, okay. So I went in the room and prayed. 15 seconds. Somebody said, that's what I'm talking about. See, I didn't need the money. I just needed a building. Can't have church and no money. I needed a building. So when I said, Father, I thank you. You are gracious and full. Boom, just like that. He showed me this red carpet. I've never been in here. I saw this red carpet and this right here, this particular podium, this one right here. I was right in this part of the church at this podium. And that podium wasn't even made yet. But the Lord needed it. So I came and asked the rent this building. They said, absolutely not. This will not be a church building. Next week, we came by. They were cutting the steeple off the building. Y'all notice there's no steeple up there? Come on, say it. But the Lord needed it. See, I own this building. I'm an heir of what I need. You are too. As long as you are about your Father's business, everything, God will drop a desire in your heart, and then God will tell you how to get it, and he'll help you. He'll give you a divine assistance in obtaining whatever it is you desire. But what you do is delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires. Then he'll help you get the things that you're desiring. You own everything. You got to come to a place that when the Holy Spirit came in you, you became an heir, an equal heir with Jesus. So how would it be, unless you're a baby? Because the Bible says a child could be the heir of everything. But as long as he's a child, he's no different from a slave. But when he grow up, you got to grow up and realize you are a son of God. You're not a slave trying to get God to bless you. You are a son of God with the Holy Spirit in you. That makes you one of them. You are a family member. See, you were a prodigal out there in the pig pen. When you came to yourself, you got born again. And when you came home, your father was waiting for you. Because he'd been waiting for you because he sent you from heaven through your mama womb into this world. And when you came to yourself, you came back home to the Father. The Father been waiting for you to get the message all the time. And he brought you in and put a robe of righteousness and a ring that gives you authority for everything that the king has. And the elder brothers are still out there in the field working, trying to get to heaven. And when they see the younger brother just come in and have a party with their father, they get mad when they hear dancing and music. But the father went out there and told the son, son, all this been yours all the time. That means you didn't have to be out here working in the field, trying to go anywhere. All this stuff belongs to you. You're not a slave. You're not a servant. You're a son. But you have an assignment. That assignment is not to run around and try to get my blessing. Your assignment is to give yourself. Let God use what he's put in you. Be somewhere in the part of helping the kingdom advance. If you're in partial fulfillment somewhere, I'm telling you, God already knows you have needs. And it has been his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And you are an equal heir with Jesus. Amen. One thing we're going to do in order to fulfill our assignment, number one, is through prayer. Prayer is just talking to God. Talking to God. Keep constant fellowship with Him. You know, you send emails to your kingdom and staying on the phone, texting Him. Let Him text you back. And I'm a representative of a kingdom. When He is in another place, He has a responsibility, number one, to stay in touch with His homeland. You on earth, but you have you're a citizen of heaven. And as a representative of heaven and a son and an ambassador, you have a responsibility to stay in touch with homeland. Amen. Number two, you have a responsibility to speak only in line with your government. Not speaking your own opinion. You don't speak your own opinion when you're representing heaven. You speak in line with the opinion of your government, of your constitution. So you want to know your constitution. That's the Bible. That's your constitution. It tells you about what your rights are. It tells you about what the intent of your kingdom is. It tells you what the King, God, desires for you. It tells what you can do and how you're supposed to come out. But it's your responsibility not to violate that and speak crosswise there. And then you're saying, come on, right standing. See, you want to stay in right standing. You don't want to speak your own opinion. You want to stay in right standing with the Constitution. Because if you get out of right standing with that Constitution, you know, you disqualify yourself as a representative, and then they call you back if you're a representative of a kingdom and you go out there just doing your own thing. You see? You represent heaven. And so you're supposed to be taken care of good. Because you bad representation if your king has a personal interest in you being taken care of well. Kings are known by how well their citizens are doing. So you looking good, make God look good. You not faring well, make God look bad. Amen. He has a personal interest in you doing well. So He's committed personally to take care of all your concerns while you are only focusing on His concerns. Amen. And Jesus, the head of the church, said, if you seek first, put this first place. The priority is so important. If that's first place, somebody said, all these things shall be added to you. Amen. Got to get my assignment right and know how to fulfill it. All right. You know what the assignment? Somehow we're supposed to be involved in advancing the kingdom. And that involves teaching other people in all groups. Wherever you find yourself, you let your light shine. How are you going to let your light shine if you're failing? Well, so I got to shine. How do I shine? Jesus said, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. I'm telling you how to be, how to act, how to think, how to control what you think about so that the kingdom can work in your life while you're on the earth, because people need to see a difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world. So they're supposed to see a difference. So you have to live a distinctive kingdom life on purpose. You do it with prayer, constant prayer, you know, staying in fellowship, on the phone with Him, texting Him, sending emails, and Him sending emails to you. Amen. My sheep hear my voice. That's what Jesus said. Amen. Just you can learn how to be led by Him. You can learn how to hear His voice and be led by Him, and without having to hear, oh, no, He's in there. Amen. He showed you how to get around in a dark world. He showed you He's in there. He's in you. He came to live in you and show you how to get around in a world that don't know how to think like citizens of the kingdom, because their thinking is crosswise, how citizens of the kingdom of God think and operate. Their motive is different. Everything about that world is trying to get. Everything about citizens of the kingdom of God is trying to love, trying to be a blessing. Amen. Because they can, because they're not afraid, because they get everything they need from their Father. They don't trust in and rely on anything on this world or anybody. That's why they can just give of their love and give of their patience and give of their service and give of their self. And not even be afraid, because it's an inexhaustible source that they are receiving from. And people in the world have to just trust what they can get themselves. Their whole mentality, everything is loving money and what money can buy. And God can trust you with money if you don't love it. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What was number one? Prayer. You know, talking to God. And letting him in and getting back from him what he's saying to you. Listening and being led by his spirit. Number two is the word of God. Read that word. Let's say it like we said it the other day. We said prayer, praise, and purpose. So that's purpose is on purpose. You want to feed on that word and on purpose be led by the Spirit of God. That's how you learn how to be led by the Spirit of God. Looking at that word with an intent to do what God revealed to you. And his Holy Spirit is in you to guide you. So you want to on purpose do things without having to depend on you feeling like doing it. Or depending on your emotions to be in line with what he's leading you to do. Because most of the time, since your emotions didn't get saved and your feelings didn't get saved and your mind didn't get saved, most of the time when he leads you to do something, it's different from what you naturally would do. But you can tell a difference. Once he's come into you, you can tell what he's leading you to do. And if you think that your goal is to get your blessing, if you think that your goal is to try to go to heaven and not ever dawn on you, my goal is to work with him, then we just totally ignore his leading. But when we find out our goal is to work with him to help the kingdom get established, then we'll start recognizing, okay, that's God leading me to do that. And I don't have to wait for my emotions to get in line. I don't have to wait until my feelings get in line. I don't have to wait until my passions get in line or my own personal lusts get in line. I trust him. I can just obey what he's telling me to do, and then my life is off my hand. He said, if I just seek being upright with him, he won't hold any good thing from me. Amen. So my life is set as long as I'm about being led by the spirit of love and using what he's put in me to use. He's given me some money. He's given me some gifts. He's given me some talents. He's given me some grace. He's given me some compassion. He's given me love. He's given me a recognition of something, of some things that need to be done. He's given me a call. He's given you a call. He's given you a gift. He's given you substance. He's given you yourself. And he leads you to give all that away freely. Trust in him to take care of you. Hallelujah. That's the secret to being fulfilled. Living out the reason that God has you here. That's the secret to being fulfilled. Living out the reason that he has you on the earth. He don't have you on the earth to try to get to heaven. All you needed to do, if that was the goal, was to die after you got saved. The goal was not to get filled with the Holy Spirit so you can miss hell. The goal was to be born again and then learn how to practice, how to observe all things what he's commanded us. How can I do all of this? He said, when the Holy Spirit has come, he will lead you in this thing. He's going to live with you. He's the governor of heaven. He's here to train you how to live and have a culture like sons of God. And as long as you just live in harmony, in uprightness with your kingdom, you can live on the earth and have heaven's provisions. You don't have to live in the kingdom. You can represent the kingdom somewhere else. And ambassadors live just like citizens who live in the kingdom. And you look at Jesus. You know who Jesus was doing? When he teach about character, he would teach about character, wouldn't he? He would teach about character. He didn't teach on healing much at all. But he always had the healing power when he teach. He was teaching about the culture of a citizen of the heaven. He didn't teach too much about money. He taught about culture of a citizen. how they think and how they act and their motive and what makes them tick. That's what Jesus taught about. And he said, you're empowered to prosper if you're this way. But he taught about character and about culture of the kingdom and about a person who's on the earth who's taking advantage of the kingdom. But it's amazing, when he taught, the power of God was always there to heal people. When he taught, he always had enough money. He had so much money until the person who was holding his bag was a thief and nobody knew it. Nobody knew he was stealing. He always had enough. But he didn't teach about these subjects very much at all. But he taught about culture of a citizen of the kingdom of God. How the main thing you want to do is keep that royal law of doing for other people what you would have them do to you. He said, that's the master law. If you were you and I was me, what would you want me to do for you? And Jesus said, you do that to other people, you're going to be fine. Because whatever you do to other people, God will make it happen to you. And the Holy Ghost is in you to lead you to do for other people what you would have them do to you. Hallelujah. If you had the gift that you had and somebody didn't, and you see a world and you see a cause, somebody say, is there not a cause? If you see a cause that's bigger than you, what would you have somebody to do if they were you? I would want that person to give of themselves. I would want that person to give of their substance. I would want that person to give of their service to help me come along. If there was a teenager over here, if there was a person over there who needed to see you win in life so they can see God moving in somebody's life, what would you have that person? If you was that person, wouldn't you want to see that person win if they professing to be Christ? Wouldn't you want that person to on purpose do what it takes to win in my face so that they can help me to believe that God actually loves people? Because after all, you saying that you love God, it ought to work for you. If somebody said that they was a Christian, if I wasn't a Christian, I would want that person to win in my face so I can see, so that it helped convince me that God has raised Jesus from the dead. That God actually does love people. That God, that's still hope for me. And you the only evidence that anybody gonna ever see that God is a good God. So you wanna on purpose be led by the Spirit of God and not be led by my feelings and not be led by my emotions and not be led by my passions and not be led by my lusts, because that's what I was led by before I got born again. And God says, if you be led by my Spirit, you are sons of God, and people are seeing. Somebody gonna see me treat you. You gonna see a difference between the kingdom of heaven. You gonna let somebody show. You gonna demonstrate the will of God. You gonna demonstrate to everybody that God really is a good God. But he needs somebody to do it on purpose. Because if the reason is not beyond yourself trying to get somewhere, because if the reason trying to get to heaven, you know, you look around and say, well, I'm just good at this. I believe I can get to heaven just, see, because I'm better than I, at least I don't do it. That's not even the goal. The goal is to love God and work with God, because he has you on this earth not to try to get to heaven, but to be sons of God. And God said, I'll tell you, there's a good life. I want you to have abundant life. I want you to have a life to the fullest. I want you to really experience this life that I have for you. But you got to lay down your life if you're going to get this life that I have for you. You're born again. Got it. You are going to heaven. Got it. You are filled with the Holy Ghost. Got it. But you know as well as I do, that doesn't in itself make people fulfilled. People still fail when they're born again. People still fail filled with the Holy Ghost. But people got to know the goal is not to try to placate my own self. There's a God in heaven that has given you and me an assignment. And he said, if you seek being upright with me, if you make it your point, make it a point in your life to on purpose be led by that still small voice. It's telling you what what to put aside. He's guiding you. He's got a master plan for your life. He has plans that is better than this. Yeah. Hallelujah. Say this: I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. God has a life for me. It's not just a plain, mundane life. God sent Jesus so we won't perish, but have life, and not just have it, but to live it to the fullest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God can be trusted. Will you trust him with your life?